I'm going to continue today and we're going to look at destiny. We've looked at all of us have an individual inheritance as well as our corporate inheritance as the people of God. We have an individual inheritance, including our identity, knowing we're sons of God, our redemptive gift that we've been looking at over the last few weeks, and our destiny, who I am, my identity, how I'm made, my redemptive gift, and what I'm made for, my destiny or my birthright. Romans 8:28, we all know that God causes all things to work together for good to those who love God and to those who are called according to his purpose or according to his destiny for us. The question is, do you know his purpose or destiny for your life? And as we've already seen, God has been prophetically showing pictures of that this morning to show us and encourage us to pursue the things that God has placed within us that are ours to fulfill in our lives. The question is, have you accepted his call? You may have never accepted his call to follow him, to be a disciple of him. You have an opportunity of doing that at any point in time, because there's always opportunity to turn to Jesus and to know God through him. I want to just clear up an issue about destiny and fate, because they are two completely different things. Fate, it says, is the supposed force, principle, or power that predetermines events, and the inevitable events predestined by this force, and the final result or consequence of that force. And that is what the dictionary definition of fate. Fate equals a preordained plan that is deterministic and without choice. It will happen without anything stopping it. That is fate. I don't believe in fate. I don't believe the Bible teaches fate. I believe the Bible teaches destiny. Another way of putting it is que sera, sera, famous song. What will be, will be. So what's the point, in other words? It'll be anyway, so I don't really need to worry about it. It just happened. Well, actually, that's not the truth. What is destiny? The events that will necessarily happen to a particular person or thing in the future. That's the dictionary definition. God's pre-agreed plan for our lives. Pre-agreed when? Before the creation of the world with our spirit. But we have a free will to choose that plan or not. It is not predetermined and has to happen. Our destiny is actually in our hands. And our choice and whether we pursue that destiny and begin to follow that will determine whether we will outwork our purpose for our life or not. Adam forfeited man's right to destiny through following the wrong path. Rather than following that path to the tree of life, he followed the pathway of the knowledge of the tree of good and evil. That's a pathway of knowledge which was about doing his own thing separate from God. That brought mankind into bondage. But Jesus came to restore our destiny. He came to restore our access to life. Abundant, flowing life that comes out of the life of God that God wants us to experience today. So our destiny is tied up with the choices we make. And we all have a choice, free will, that God has given us to decide whether we're going to do our own thing, which most of the time when we do our own thing, it ends up in trouble and a mess, or whether we're going to do what God's will and purpose is, which will lead to abundant life and blessing. I'm not saying it's going to be easy, because there are obstacles and there's a battle to overcome, but God calls us to fulfill those things. We can follow the right path because Jesus has opened access for us to be able to do that by removing what happened because of Adam's sin. He came as the second Adam to unlock our destiny for us. Jeremiah 1:5 says, before I formed you in the womb, I knew you. So before even conception took place, God knew Jeremiah, and he knows each of us. Before you were born, I consecrated you. In other words, set you apart for a purpose. I have appointed you a prophet to the nations. That was Jeremiah's purpose. Each of us has a purpose, a destiny in God that he wants us to discover. Psalm 139:16, your eyes, talking about God, have seen my unformed substance. So again, God has seen us before we physically exist. And in your book or scroll were written the days that were ordained for me, when as yet none of them was, there was not yet one of them. How precious are your thoughts to me, O God. How vast is the sum of them. There's so much that God has got for us. So much he thinks about us. So much that he's prepared for us. So much that he wants us to see as well. So he wants us to see what is on that scroll, what is written in that book. All the days of my life, God has prepared for me to be blessed and to be a blessing to others. The question is, am I willing to follow it? Am I willing to seek out God's plan and God's desire for my heart? Or am I willing to carry on doing my own thing in my own way, getting more and more in trouble? That is a picture of a human egg and a whole load of little sperm that swim up towards that egg. And there are about 3 million of them that attempt to form a new human life. And you became one of those that succeeded. So your destiny is to be an overcomer. You're already an overcomer because you overcame the odds of 3 million to 1 to exist and who you are. So I want to encourage you to pursue who you are. When that egg gets fertilized, it changes its appearance. It has 23 chromosomes of DNA, the record of our parents' history. So 23 from mother, 23 from father, which is the record of their history going back to Adam originally. But what comes in at conception, and this is a fact, that there's a flash of light, of energy, where our spirit enters into that fertilized egg. And what our spirit carries is our destiny, a scroll, if you like, that's everything that we have prepared for us, that's stored and recorded within us for us to discover. Comes out of eternity, and what happens then? That egg, fertilized cell, multiplies into 2, and then multiplies into many, and eventually it forms us, which is a miracle, isn't it? I mean, just a miracle that it takes place that way. But everything contains a record of what God intends us to be, but also we have a record of what our past and our parents' past is. That whole thing is contained within our hearts. And Proverbs 23:7 says, "For as a man thinks in his heart, so is he." So if we think according to the record that God has given us, we will outwork that record. If we think according to the record that comes just from our genetic material from our parents, we'll end up following the same pathway, which won't help us. So our scroll or the book of our destiny came out of eternity, came out of the mind of God in eternity to connect with our spirit. It is like a letter of decree or a commission for us. It carries our purpose or destiny, the pathway to find the provisions for that fulfillment. See, along the pathway that God's prepared for us is everything that we need to fulfill our destiny. If we go off to the left or the right or we go our own way, there is no provision to fulfill our destiny there. We're on our own, doing our own thing, trying to make ends meet, trying to do things in our own strength. God has prepared a way that he's already prepared ahead of us everything we need. If we keep on that pathway, then we'll find all that we need to fulfill what God's purpose is. Now you can access that scroll or that book in heaven. And we've been teaching people to do that in the Joshua Generation groups. The last few weeks, we've been looking to engage in the record room of heaven and see our destiny and see the scroll. And people have seen the 2 scrolls that are there, the scroll that God's written and the scroll which represents our life as a Christian and all the things we either have or haven't done which are not according to that destiny or according to it. And it's an interesting thing to go and look at it. You can also find a revelation of that scroll when you engage God around the Ark of the Testimony and the covenant in the heavenly tabernacle. And I've been experiencing that quite a bit recently. Psalm 40 verse 7 says, "Then I said, behold, I come In the scroll of the book it is written of me, I delight to do your will, O my God. Your law is within my heart. That was talking about Jesus. And it also talks about us. His law, his will, his purpose for our life is written within our hearts. But we need to engage it. Recently, as I've been engaging daily around the Ark of the Covenant, which is a place in the Holy of Holies, in the tabernacle in heaven, because the earthly tabernacle, which was given to the Jewish people when they were wandering around the wilderness, where the presence of God would come, is just patterned after something that's in heaven. And so you can go there and you can experience that. And as I've been engaging around that over the last few weeks, I've actually found that one of the things that's in the tabernacle and in the ark and in the box that the mercy seat is covering, the three things. There's manna, pot of manna, there's the tablets, and there's the third thing is Aaron's rod that budded. And on those tablets were written the law. Now they represent this that was now written on our hearts, because it says no longer God writes things on tablets of stone, but he writes things on our hearts. So as I've been engaging and coming close to that place, I've been asking God to reveal the things that he's put on my heart. And so the desires, the longings, the passions, it's like he's been unfurling that scroll. And I haven't been looking at it in a physical sense, but I've been feeling drawn to the things that are on it. Because God wants us to be drawn to the things that he's put in our hearts, the desires, the passions for his things. So I've seen those things revealed. As I've drawn closer to God, he's revealed things to me. And as we all draw closer to God, he will reveal the things that he's put on our hearts, the drawings, the passions. I was listening to a song this morning called For the Sake of the World. It's a well-known album and this song. And it says, for the sake of the world, come light a fire in me. In other words, put a passion in my heart for those things that God has already destined for me. So I will be passionate about the things that God is passionate about. That my desires will be stirred and put on fire. And God wants us to experience and know those things in our own heart. A passion to fulfill our destiny. Have you got a passion to fulfill your destiny? Or are you wandering around aimlessly? Because when you have a passion to fulfill that destiny, it will lead you along the pathway to fulfillment. The scroll contains a frequency and a vibration, a sound, a song, if you like, that's the song of our life that God intends us to have. And all of us scientifically have a frequency. We give off a particular frequency and vibration, but God wants us to know and come into agreement with that which is on that scroll. It contains a color and a fragrance and a formula, and there are all sort of encoded abilities that are on that scroll which can actually resequence our DNA and bring us back into wholeness and completeness, back into the purpose that God has for us. Our DNA actually vibrates and has a frequency which actually can produce a song. And if you send your DNA to certain labs, they can use scientific techniques to interpret the frequency of the encoded letters on it to produce a sound and a song. But that song was produced in chaos and is not the song which actually is the song of our life, which is on our scroll, because it was created in sin and iniquity, and it's messed up. God wants to bring it back into harmony with what it was. So that scroll vibrates with the record of your destiny. But you choose what you resonate with. Resonance is when two frequencies come together, one brings the other into alignment. Are you going to resonate with what's come from your parents and the record of their life and everything that's been passed on negatively? Or are you going to resonate with that which comes from the harmony that comes from our destiny in the scroll? You choose. There is a heavenly sound, which is a frequency that's calling us and wooing us back into that alignment. We've been hearing it in our worship times. We've been feeling it, or some of us. It's wooing us back into a relationship of intimacy, knowing God, by experience and encounter, not knowledge and intellect. Because a lot of us know about God, but we don't know God intimately enough. See, I know a lot about different people that I've never met, because I can read about them, I can read books about them, I can read the internet reports in Wikipedia about their lives, but I've never met them. So I've got some knowledge in my head about them, but I've actually got no experience. And so many of us can know God in an intellectual sense, but God wants us to know him in a personal, intimate relationship sense. So he's calling us and wooing us into that relationship. In that relationship, he will restore our identity. And he will release the authority so that we can be sons and fulfill our destiny. God is calling us all back to that place of alignment, where we have a revelation of our relationship and a revelation of the rulership that we're mandated to have. God has given us authority to rule our lives. But if we don't know the relationship, then we won't be able to access the rulership. So we need to start and engage with heaven so that we can manifest the kingdom of God on earth as it is there. Now, I know people struggle with that. But Jesus was able to engage heaven and bring heaven to earth and manifest the kingdom around his life. Therefore, he was able to do miracles and healing, transform water into wine, walk on water, stop storms. That was the power that he wants us all to have. Because in John 14:12, it says, we will do the things that Jesus did and greater things. So there are even greater things that are there, destined for us to fulfill and perform in God's kingdom. We need to find them. So that frequency and vibration and sound is being released from heaven now. Are you hearing it? Are you feeling it? Are you sensing it? Are you sensing that sound that's calling us back into alignment? Because God is releasing it. Are we tuned in? Because there are hundreds and thousands of different sounds and frequencies. Many of them are floating around this room, but you can't see them. Unless you tune into them with a frequency receiver, like a radio, you will never hear what those frequencies are. Unless our spirit is tuned in to the frequency of heaven and hearing the voice of God, we will never know what he's saying. So we have to train our senses so that we resonate with the frequency, so we agree with the frequency, so we come into harmony with the voice of God who's calling us into relationship, who's calling us back into that place where we know him and experience him and encounter him every day of our lives, and we can walk out our destiny and fulfill his purpose for us. But so many people in the world are, why am I here? What's all this about? The answer is found in God. The answer is found in that scroll, knowing what God says. The answer is coming back into alignment with our heavenly destiny. That's why God is releasing that sound. Romans 8:19. For the anxious longing of creation waits eagerly for the revealing of the sons of God. The whole of the created order, heaven and earth, is waiting eagerly, anticipating God's children fulfilling their destiny. For it says, the creation was subjected to futility, not willingly, but because of him who subjected it. Originally, that was Satan who fell out of heaven, and then Adam aligned himself with Satan to bring creation into chaos. But there is a hope that creation itself will be set free from its slavery to corruption. In other words, everything basically decays, including us, unless we're connected to the source of life, which will bring us back into wholeness and harmony. Everything decays, but creation itself can be set free from that slavery to corruption and decay, and brought into the freedom of the glory of the children of God. Because it's our destiny to bring back the whole of creation into its original created order and purpose. That is an amazing thing that God has given us. The opportunity of being involved with him in bringing creation back into order. And that's not just what goes on here for the time we've got here. It's actually what goes on, continuing on into eternity. Genesis 1:28 is the commission, the destiny, if you like, that God gave to Adam and therefore mankind. God blessed them. He empowered them to prosper and to succeed. And he said, be fruitful, multiply, fill the earth, subdue it, and rule. He's calling us into a position to bring everything back into alignment, to subdue all those things that are in hindrance. And there's a whole lot of spiritual forces out there that are trying to hinder and block us fulfilling this purpose. We're supposed to subdue them. If Adam had not sinned, his destiny would not have been just to bring this planet back into alignment. His destiny would have been the stars and everything out there that's out of sync and out of order because of what happened when the light bearer fell, and where Satan, who was called Lucifer, and he was the light bearer and he carried the light of God, fell, and he received a mandate originally to bring and shine creation out. He lost that, and therefore darkness came. We're called to bring light back into the whole of the created order. Your destiny is to rule on earth and in the heavens, just like Adam's was. Isaiah 2:2 says the mountain of the house of the Lord is to be raised up above all the mountains, talking about authority and power to rule. It is the church's destiny to rule. 1 Peter 2:9, you are a chosen race, a royal priesthood. It is your destiny to rule, to have access to the holy, intimate things of God as a priest, because only the priest could enter into the holy places. But now those holy places are open so that all of us can enter in as a priest, but it's a royal priesthood. We have a kingly authority, just as they were talking about earlier, in terms of the Lord of the Rings and return of the king, coming back to that tree that brought life. God desires us to come back to those places of authority and power that he's destined us to have. Psalm 24:7, lift up you heads, O you gates. It's talking about us. Heads talking about authority, gates talking about access. We need to look up, look around us, look into different realms and dimensions that exist, that have been hidden from us. Now they're open for us. And it says, be lifted up, you everlasting doors. It's our responsibility to bring heaven back to earth. And the King of Glory shall come in. Who is the King of Glory? The Lord, strong and mighty. So when our lives become a gateway of heaven to earth, the King of Glory will come into this world through us to bring us back into that place of rule. Zechariah 3:6 talks about a process that goes on. The angel of the Lord admonished Joshua, and Joshua was in heaven. He was the high priest. And in verse 7 it says, thus says the Lord of hosts, if you will walk in my ways, if you will perform my laws, then you will also govern my house and also have charge of my courts, and I'll grant you free access among those who are standing here. There was a process that we were to have, a process of preparation that produces maturity in us. It starts with relationship first. God is calling us into relationship. There are two pathways of that process, an earthly pathway and a heavenly pathway. The earthly is where we learn to be a servant, a bondservant, a steward, and a friend of God. And God is calling us into that place of friendship, intimacy, relationship, so that we can then engage in the heavenly pathway, which is being a lord, a king, and a son. And so we need both of those to come together so that we can learn to be who we are called to be. Galatians 4:4 says, now I say, as long as the heir is a child, he does not differ at all from a slave, although he's the owner of everything. See, someone like Prince Charles was a prince when he was born, but until he matured to the age of 21, he wasn't invested with authority to be king. So he had an investiture when he was 21, when he came to a place of maturity, and he was given then the right to be Prince of Wales. So there are times in our lives where God is calling us to be invested with authority and power, and he wants us to engage with him. But it's a process. And if we remain immature children, we will miss out on everything that God has for us. You see, this time we have on this planet is to prepare us for what's coming in eternity, which is so much more. So it really matters what we do with our destiny here. So if you want to fulfill your eternal destiny, it matters what you do here. Because this is the preparation place. This is the proving ground. So if you want to mess around and do your own thing here, you may end up in an eternal place you don't want to be, separated from God forever. Even if you follow God, Jesus said, and get told the parable and the story of five foolish virgins and five wise virgins. They both had lamps to shine and be light, but one of them didn't look after their oil, and bottom line, Jesus said, depart from me. Jesus said to people that they would say to him, I did this for you, I did that for you, I did the other for you, and he would say, depart from me, I didn't know you. So there's a time of preparation which is really, really important that we embrace, so that we won't waste our destiny, that we won't miss out on our destiny, that we will fulfill it. And God is calling us to engage with him. And in verse 2, it says of Galatians 4, it says, he is under guardians and managers until the date set by the Father. So we are in a place where we can engage with being tutored and prepared for our destiny here. Who does that? We have guardian angels that are with us to help us. We have an angel in heaven that's there keeping our place of rulership open for us. The seven spirits of God teach us and tutor us in position of authority. Cloud of witnesses are around us to cheer us on and to encourage us. We have things made available by God for us to be able to be tutored and trained, but we have to embrace them and we have to engage them. Genesis 2:7 says, the Lord God formed man of the dust of the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and man became a living being. Verse 8, the Lord God planted a garden towards the east in Eden. Then the Lord God took man and put him in the garden east of Eden to cultivate it and keep it. So Adam was created in God's garden. Then God created a garden for him and put him in it to look after it. Now, there's lots of different analogies you can draw from that. But the reality is, we've all been given a commission and a destiny to cultivate and keep what God has given us, both on the inside of us and in a planetary sense. Genesis 3:8, they heard the sound of the Lord God walking in the garden in the cool of the day. Now, when you're thinking of sound, do you think that they heard God with great big feet stomping on the trees, making a racket? I don't think so. I think they felt the frequency of his presence, the closeness that he had. I felt they picked up the vibration of what it was like when he was around. I think they smelt the fragrance of his beauty. All our senses need to be involved in what God wants us to do in engaging him. They had an opportunity of walking with God in heaven and on earth before they messed up. Our destiny is heavenly and earthly. We have access to those two gardens, the garden of God, which is called Eden, which is in heaven, and that garden which now is represented by our own heart. We can access that. They originally overlapped, so the spiritual and the physical overlap. Because of sin, they were separated, and a barrier was put up, a cherubim and a fiery sword to stop access to the tree of life. In the garden of God, in Eden, there's the tree of life. We can access it today. In the garden of man, in our own hearts, there's the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, a choice that we have to take every day, whether we follow our destiny or follow doing our own thing. We're called to cultivate and tend the garden of our heart. Most of us have never even been there. A lot of people didn't even know it exists. God wants us to know that he lives in us, and he wants to fellowship and have relationship with us, which will help us fulfill our destinies. There are two pathways. We have to choose which one to follow. We're going to follow the pathway of our own knowledge, doing our own thing, or we're going to follow the pathway that leads to our destiny and fulfillment. We have a restored right of access to both gardens. We can access the pathway of intimacy to the garden of our heart and cultivate that relationship. Yes, the garden of our heart may have four sorts of soils and three of them are messed up. Hard, weedy and stony because of the things that have happened in our lives. But there's good soil, even if it's a little patch of good soil there, that when you put seeds that come from our relationship with God, it enables us to grow and cultivate that. So I'd encourage you, start to pursue relationship. But also we can access the garden of God in heaven and engage with the tree of life and with the throne of grace. And we've been teaching that in the Joshua Generation groups. And many of you have experienced that. And you've been there and you felt what it's like to come before God's throne of grace and receive blessing, to get into the tree of life, to eat the fruit, to get into the river of life. See, we are a human being, not a human doing. But religion wants us to do, to try and earn our relationship with God. It can never be earned. We can never be good enough. So we just have to learn how to be. See, everything we do should flow from our relationship with God, not for our relationship. If you're trying to earn favor, then it's religious bondage, and it will keep us separated from God. Because God wants to come, us to come to him freely through the grace that's available for us by faith in Jesus. We just have to accept Jesus and return to him and follow him. Both of these pathways of engagement are necessary for us to fulfill our destiny. You cannot do it just on earth. You cannot do it just in heaven. You have to bring heaven and earth and bring that overlap back so that we can outwork both things. The pathway of relationship flows from the inside out. God comes to live in us, but he doesn't want to be locked up on the inside of us. He wants to flow through us, transforming us on the way. So that connection to heaven flows through our lives, and it's supposed to flow out around us to change the world in which we live. But there's also a pathway of responsibility, which is about ruling, which you can only do in the heavens to manifest it on earth. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. So you need to access heaven to be able to bring that rule. And that pathway goes from the outside in, from the outer courts, the inner court, the Holy of Holies, and beyond. So it flows deeper and deeper into the realms of heaven, and we do that by learning the pathway of surrender. We are a royal priesthood, but intimacy comes first. And that will always lead to ruling. Because when we hear the heart of God, it will lead us to fulfill the heart of God. And God wants us to know his heart. Genesis 2:10, a river flowed out of Eden to water the garden. So that river flowed out of Eden, the garden of God, to water the garden that God made for man. And from there it divided and became four rivers to water the whole earth. Right now, that means that we're connected to heaven. The river of life flows out of heaven, flows into the garden of our heart, and then it's supposed to flow out from there to touch other people, to bring blessing to people, to bring life to people, to bring healing and wholeness and deliverance, to touch people's lives in a practical way. But if we lock it all up and keep it bottled up and don't let it flow, it helps nobody. God wants it to flow. That river of life is still flowing. It's our destiny to engage in that living water. It's supposed to flow from us, from heaven, out through us, to touch the world. John 4:10, Jesus talking to the woman at the well, Jesus answered and said to her, "If you knew the gift of God," and do you know what the gift of God was? Jesus. He is still the gift of God, and he's available today. "And who it is who says to you, 'Give me a drink,' then you would have asked him, and he would have given you living water, the water that flows out of heaven, the river of life. Everyone who drinks of this water, the water that comes out of the well in the ground, will thirst again, because naturally it can never sustain us longer than after we've drunk it for a while. But whoever drinks of the water that I will give him shall never thirst, but the water I will give him will become in him a well of water springing up to eternal life." So that river that flowed out of heaven becomes a well of in us that we can drink from, that we can get in every day of our lives. The question is, are we thirsty to drink that water? Or are we content with the water that the world's offering us? Because that will never enable us to fulfill our destiny. We need to be thirsty for the river of life. John 7:37, Jesus stood and cried out saying, "If anyone is thirsty, let him come to me and drink." Are you thirsty? Are you parched for real life? Are you fed up with the life that the world has given you? The damage and the hurt and the pain and the rejection and all the things that come out of the world. Are you fed up of that? Enough to be thirsty for the life that comes from Jesus, that comes out of heaven. He wants you to drink that life. Because if you drink that life, it says, "He who believes in me, as the scripture said, from his innermost being, from that garden of your heart, will flow rivers of living water." Rivers, not just one river. See, there were four rivers that flowed out. Rivers of life flowing from us. Are we thirsty for that? We can access this living, flowing source of life in heaven and in our lives today. Question is, will we? John 10:10 says, "The thief," talking about the devil, "comes to steal, kill, and destroy." The enemy wants to rob you of your destiny. He wants to stop you fulfilling the purpose that God has for you, and he will use every tricky, devious method he can to deceive you. Are you going to be deceived, or are you going to seek the truth and the life? "I came," says Jesus, "that you may have life and have it in abundance." Abundant, flowing life from the source that comes out of heaven is your inheritance. It's your right as children of God. Don't be robbed. Don't let the enemy rob you. Don't let the enemy destroy you, life. Get attached to the real life, because Jesus is the only way. There are many ways people are trying to get to God, many other things, but Jesus said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father but through me." You cannot get to God from any other way, any other source, doing it any way of the pathway of the knowledge of tree and evil, the tree, that tree and pathway. You have to do it that comes through Jesus. He's the only way. It is our destiny to engage in this overflowing river of life. Question is, will we? See, we can become a house of God and a gateway of heaven on earth. The choice is, will we? Revelation 3:20. "Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I will come into him and will dine with him and he with me." Today, Jesus may be knocking. Maybe you've never let him in previously. There's an opportunity to surrender to Jesus today. There's an opportunity to say, "Yeah, I want to be a disciple. I want that real life. I don't want to be satisfied anymore with water that will never give me anything eternal." You can open the door and you can let him in. Today, all of us have a door on the inside of us, if we know Jesus, the place of his kingdom within our lives. And he's knocking every day, saying, "Let me in. Let me in to intimacy." And we open that door, we call it the door of first love, then he'll come in and he'll fellowship with us. His presence will be with us. He wants us to experience it. Open the door and let the source of real life flow out of heaven and flow into our spirit and flow out into our heart to the world around us, so that we would be a constant flow of blessing to the world we're in. How do we do this? How do we engage it? Hebrews 5:14 says, "Solid food is for the mature who, because of practice, have trained their senses to discern good and evil." We have to practice and train our senses to pick up this frequency, this sound, this voice of God, to be able to see and to feel and to hear and taste and touch the dimension of God's kingdom that's around us. We have to practice, because our senses have been disengaged from tuning in to that source of life. And we can retune in and connect up with that source by activating our senses, body, soul, and spirit. If I want to finish with this verse, Ephesians 1:18, "I pray that the eyes of your heart may be enlightened, opened, so that you may know what is the hope of his calling, your destiny." What are the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints? You have an inheritance that belongs to you as children of God. And if you don't know God, to be children of God, so that you can engage your destiny and know who God has called you to be and what he's called you to do. We can engage that river through our activated heart's eyes. Open the eyes of our heart. What is our heart? Our imagination. That's our heart. That's the screen that's there, the eyes of our heart, so that we can engage and see and feel and taste and touch in a spiritual sense and re-engage with that. How do we do that? Practice. Most people struggle with their imagination because they say, well, it's all in my head. It's just a figment of your imagination. You're just making all this stuff up. The reality is everything's in your head. You see me now in your head because light is bouncing off me, reflected. Your eye picks it up, goes onto your retina, optic nerve, takes it as a signal to your brain, and it interprets the upside down image, and you see me standing here. It's in your head. Also, your imagination and the activation where God gives you pictures, dreams, visions, where he shows you things, is in your head. Where your spirit sees things and communicates to you what's going on in the spiritual realm is in your head. So get over it. That's where it is. So don't put yourself down because it's in your head. It's in all of our heads. That's where we engage with God. So I want us to engage with God right now. Einstein said, logic gets you from A to B, but imagination could take you anywhere. Now, I think Einstein was a pretty smart guy. He knew that logic was limited, but imagination was unlimited. So I want you to think right now, there's a picture there of a door in your spirit, and behind that door is the presence of God, the glory of his presence. There is a river of life waiting to burst into your soul through your spirit. So I want you to close your eyes, and we're going to go on a journey. Don't try and see, just try and sense and perceive what God wants to do. If you've never opened your heart to God before, you can do it right now. So all of us can probably picture a door, because we've seen loads and loads of doors. So I want to encourage you, use your imagination to picture a door. Behind that door is God. And if you've never opened that door to God before, you have a choice. The handle is on your side. You can open that door and you can invite him into your life. And if you open that door as a choice of your will and a desire to pursue him, he will come into you right now and he will make his home in you. So open that door and feel his love, his acceptance, his embrace. Feel his heart for you. Many of us have opened that door before. I encourage you, open it again now and just feel the flow of the life of God come into your spirit. Feel his presence. Feel his love. Feel the destiny which he carries with him. Feel him. Sense him. See him. Hear him. Feel the river of life which is flowing through that open door. Now I want to encourage you to step into that river of life. Step in. Feel the energy. Feel the pulsating abundance of it. Touching every atom, every fiber of your being. Filling you, flowing through you. You can breathe in that water. You can drink that water. You can receive life in abundance flow through you. Just open up the eyes of your heart and engage it. Now, as we go on this journey, you may want to stop in one place and stay there. Just feel free to do that. But that river flows out through your spirit and it goes into the garden of your heart. And it's going to water that garden with life. So I want to institute a picture, a river flowing by a green pasture. And Psalm 23 says, "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He makes me lie down in green pastures beside quiet waters." I want you to see yourself lying in that green pasture of abundance with the presence of your shepherd with you. Start to listen to him speak to you. Start to talk to him. Because he's real and he wants to enable you to grow the garden of your heart. Enjoy his presence. Feel that sense of peace, that sense of joy that emanates from him, that sense of belonging. Because he restores your soul and leads you in paths of righteousness. Let him begin to restore your soul. Let him begin to touch you in the deep areas of your life, to bring healing, to bring wholeness, to bring blessing. Let him touch you deeper. Some of you may want to stay there and enjoy the sense of his presence. But that river also flows back through that door up into heaven. And so we can activate and follow that river. For those of you who want to go on this journey, you're just going to follow that river and step into the realm of heaven. I want you to breathe in the atmosphere of heaven now. Sense the difference in its energy and life and purity. Again, get in that river of life. See the scrolls and the gems and the things that are there for you, to provide for you, to bless you, to be your source. To the right on that river is a waterfall that's cascading down from the garden of God. And we can stand under the waterfall and let deep call to deep. Let the deep things of God call to the deep things to reveal something more of our destiny, of our scroll, of his life. Just stand under that water. Just feel it pulsating down, energizing you. Now we're going to go up that waterfall. Just think we're at the top of the waterfall. And we're going to walk towards the garden of God. And ahead of us, there is a bridge. And Jesus is standing on that bridge. And he's inviting us to hand over to him every burden, weight of responsibility that we're carrying, every heavy burden, all our tiredness. Cast all our burdens onto the Lord because he cares for us. Hand it over to him. You can't go in to meet the Father in the garden carrying the things that are weighing you down. Hand them over. Look into his eyes. Feel his love. Sense his joy of you being in his presence. Sense his peace flowing from him. And as you hand over all those things, just walk in through the archway of the garden of God. And just experience what it is to be in the presence of your Father who loves you, who destined you to rule in the heavens and on the earth. Just learn to be. There are other places we could go, but we're just going to stay there. We're going to finish there. If you want to just stay in that sense of God's presence, just rest there. Engage with Him and allow His presence and blessing to flow through you.